Having read God's word together, let us give him thanks for his holy word, and then we will apply his word to our lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us through your holy word. Thank you, Father, for preserving your word for us through all these years, that we might know your truth, that we might understand your love, that we might do your will, and that we might serve you together. Bless now our meditation on your word, that we might apply it to our lives and be changed by the power of what you are saying to us today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Well, today we finish our study of the Gospel of John. On Friday nights, for several weeks, we have been looking at the Gospel of John chapter by chapter, as we have seen this beautiful gospel and the power of the Word of God that is found in it. Today we look at the 21st chapter of John. So you have just read some from that chapter. You may want to take your Bibles and turn with me to the 21st chapter, and let's look at it together. First of all, a summary of the 21st chapter. The first 14 verses, the risen Christ meets the disciples at the seashore, and there he prepares an early morning breakfast of fish cooked over a fire. Some of the disciples had been out fishing, and they are mentioned there in verse 2. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples were together. They decided they would go fishing. This was the night before. And they fished all night long. And as you read those first 14 verses, you will see that they did not catch anything. Some of you might enjoy fishing, and if so, you probably have had an experience like that. You've gone out fishing, but you haven't caught a fish. Well, the disciples were tired. It says early the next morning, they were close enough to shore to see a person, and they finally decided and discovered that it was Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God. And there they were amazed that Jesus would make an appearance to them. Jesus asked them if they had caught any fish, and they said, "No, we have fished all night long, but no fish." And Jesus said, "Cast your nets over the right side of the boat." So the disciples decided they would honor him and humble themselves before him. Even though they were professional fishermen and they had not caught any fish, they trusted him. And when they cast their nets on the right side of the boat, an enormous catch of fish resulted. John, in fact, numbers them. Evidently, they counted them when they came ashore. And there were how many fish? 153. That's a lot of fish. Most of the fish in the Sea of Galilee are tilapia. Do you like tilapia? So you would have enjoyed that breakfast that morning as Jesus prepared it for his disciples. And as they brought that enormous catch ashore, they realized they were standing with one who was truly divine. Truly a miracle had occurred. And they were amazed. That's verses 1 through 14. We're going to focus on verses 15 to 19 in just a moment. It is here that Jesus speaks directly to Simon Peter. And he did so for a purpose, and I want us to look at that together in a moment. And then after verse 19, verses 20 and concluding are words that simply reminds us of the power of God's word to bring salvation to the human heart. Look at verses 24 and 25 of John 21. This is the disciple who testifies to these things. In other words, this is John, the writer of the gospel. And he testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. That is the 21st chapter. But I want us now to look at Simon Peter and the story of his life. what happened in John 21 is connected to what happened in John 13 and John 18. So keep your Bibles open and let's look together at this beautiful scripture. So we're looking at the Gospel of John. And in chapter 13, you will see where Jesus was meeting with his disciples in the upper room. This was the night before he was arrested and crucified. It was his last time with them for teaching. And you'll notice there in chapter 13 that he predicted his betrayal. He predicted Peter's denial. And that's what I want us to look at. Jesus there in verse 31 and following predicted that Simon Peter would deny him as Savior and Lord. In verse 34, Jesus gives that beautiful verse. It's actually a new commandment, he said. Love one another. Powerful word. He wanted his disciples to be sure that they loved each other so that everybody would know that they are his disciples. Then Jesus spoke to Simon Peter personally. And Peter said to the Lord, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus said, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And so here in verses 37 and 38, we see that Jesus here is predicting Peter's denial of him. And not just once, but three times before the rooster crows. Simon Peter must have been shocked that Jesus would have said this to him. Simon was part of the inner three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. He was a very prominent disciple, as mentioned in all four Gospels. He was called by Jesus at the Sea of Galilee to be a follower of his. Jesus said, "Come follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." So following and fishing for people, for sinners, was going to be his calling. You remember that Simon Peter made that great confession of Jesus Christ at Caesarea Philippi as Jesus went on a retreat with his disciples. And he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a strong affirmation. We see several conversations in the Gospels between Jesus and Peter. Today we focus on the conversation in chapter 13 and then later in chapter 21. Jesus predicted that Peter would not be faithful to him under pressure. And that is the first thing I want us to note here today. We must be faithful to the Lord even in difficult circumstances. If you look in John chapter 18, please go there with me now. When Peter was with his Lord and the other disciples in the upper room, it was easy for Peter to say, "Lord, I'll never betray you. I'll never deny you. I'm with you, Lord." But then Jesus was arrested. He was put on trial. Peter was outdoors warming his hands around the enemy's campfire. Roman soldiers would have had a fire outside. The nights in Jerusalem can be cold. And Peter was there warming his hands. And people began to look at him and say, "Hey, we know you. You are one of Jesus' followers." Look at what he said there in John 18, verse 17. One of the people, a maidservant, said, "You are one of this man's disciples too, aren't you?" And he replied, "I am not." That was the first denial. Then in verse 25 of John 18, while Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself, they asked him, "You are one of his disciples, aren't you?" And he said, "I am not." And then one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it three times. And then something was heard. What was it? The rooster crowing, just as Jesus had predicted. So in chapter 18, we see Jesus' prediction come true. The first denial is there in verses 15 to 18. The second denial is found there in verse 25. And the third denial is found there in verse 27. Three times Peter denied his Lord. Now this is Simon Peter, who had expressed to Jesus how much he loved him, how he recognized him as the Son of God, the Savior. Peter was with Jesus in many, many moments. He had seen Jesus perform miracles, had heard him teach and preach, had seen him relate to so many different people. And yet Peter, under pressure, denied his Lord. I think that reminds each of us that we too can falter in our faith. We too have moments when maybe we have not admitted that we're a follower of Christ, or maybe our behavior did not show that we were following the Lord. People might not have been able to tell that we're Christians because of the way we have acted or talked or thought. So the first thing I want us to see is that if you really love the Lord Jesus, you need to be faithful to him when things are really tough. Simon Peter failed because he was in a pressure situation. Maybe as he warmed his hands and as he recognized people were recognizing him, maybe he thought, maybe I'm going to get arrested too. Maybe the cross is in my future. How many of us would have been that much stronger than him that night? But it's really important for us to look at our lives each day. What kind of pressures are you under? When are you tempted? When are you feeling the power of peer pressure upon you? When other people are not living their faith, not honoring Christ, are you tempted to go with them rather than honor your Lord? How much do we really love the Lord Jesus? And how faithful are we going to be when the pressure is very heavy? Loyalty. So let's go now to the second thing I want us to see, and that is in chapter 21. In chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. Notice what happens there. After this breakfast, after the miraculous catch of fish, notice the dialogue, once again, between Jesus and Simon Peter. Jesus says to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So what was happening here? Well, that brings us to the second very important point that I'd like for us to remember out of this passage of Scripture, and that is, if you really love the Lord, if you're going to be faithful to him, you need to realize that he has a willingness, a desire to give you a second chance. If you fail in your following of the Lord and honoring him with your life, he will give you another chance. Isn't that good news? I mean, how many of us have failed our Lord? Probably all of us, at one time or another, have not lived up the way we should as a follower of Jesus Christ. We all need forgiveness. We all need a second chance, or maybe a 30th chance, or a 100th chance. And the Lord is ready to give that to you as an expression of grace. That's what he offers you. It's interesting, as we look at these passages of Scripture, Peter was, Jesus predicted Peter would deny his Lord. Peter said, "That'll never happen." But sure enough, in chapter 18, three times he denied his Lord. But if you will notice something, look at verse 15. Look at verse 16. And verse 17. And you will notice three times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you really love me?" And Peter was getting a little frustrated as Jesus kept asking that question. And he finally said, "Lord, you know I love you." So what was happening? Jesus was forgiving Simon Peter for his three denials. Here we have the three encouragements, the three expressions of forgiveness, the three opportunities for Simon Peter to get it right because he had gotten it so wrong. For each denial, there is an encouraging word of grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that say to you and to me that our Lord is so eager to forgive us, to relate to us, to love us? And I think he is asking that same question here this morning. Do you really love me? Put your name in these verses, 15, 16, and 17. Instead of Simon, put your name there. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And I hope that your answer is, "Lord, I really love you. I really do. And I'm so grateful for the chance you've given me to overcome my failures in the past." It's a very important word that we need to remember. If you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to remember to be faithful under pressure. If you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, remember he gives you another chance to prove that love. Jesus keeps on coming to us with forgiveness, with love, and with relationship. Are you opening your life to him so that that can happen in you? I hope so. There is a third thing I want us to see in this, and that is that when we have been forgiven for our failures, and our Lord is assured that we love him, he then sends us on mission. So if you want to see the three big points of the scripture today, it can be summed up by the words loyalty, love, and mission. Do you really love the Lord Jesus? Are you going to be faithful to him when you are under pressure? Are you? And are you willing to humble yourself and open your heart to the radical grace he offers each of us, though we do not deserve it, though we have failed him many times? He keeps coming to us because he loves us. And we don't understand why, but he does. Isn't that good news? And once he is assured that we really do love him, he sends us on mission. Notice what it says there in the scripture in John 21. After every one of the three questions, "Do you love me?" And when Peter said, "Lord, I really do love you," what did Jesus say? Notice. Verse 15, what? "Feed my lambs." Verse 16, what was the mission? "Take care of my sheep." And verse 17, "Feed my sheep." So you have the triple denial, the triple forgiveness, and the triple mission that Jesus sends Peter on. I'm grateful that Peter took seriously what Jesus said to him. If you look just a little bit further in your scripture into the book of Acts, chapter 2, you will notice, and this would have been about 50 days after Jesus met with Peter on Festival of Pentecost weekend, the Christians and many people from all over the world had gathered in Jerusalem for the Pentecost festival, and you'll read in Acts 2 how the Holy Spirit came with power upon the gathered believers, and they were given the opportunity, the power, to speak the gospel in the tongues of nations so everybody could understand the gospel from wherever they were from in the world. And then Peter addressed the crowd, the same one who had denied his Lord, had been forgiven, and was sent on mission. Now he says yes to mission. Look there in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. And then he began to preach. And through those powerful words that he shared with the folks that day, look at verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to the Lord. 3,000 people. Aren't we glad that Peter overcame his failure, said yes to the love of God, and accepted his mission and preached the word, and wonderful things resulted. If you look further in the next two chapters, almost all of the material in the first four chapters of Acts focus on Simon Peter and his ministry. God did wonderful things through him, not just at Pentecost, but in many other ways. Simon Peter said yes to the mission that God had given to him. What I want us to see then is that God gives us a mission as well. When we confess our sins and ask for his forgiveness, when we experience his love, his encouragement, his grace, he has a job for us to do. We are all sent on mission. You don't have to go somewhere else in the world necessarily, though you might be called to be a foreign missionary. You might be called to go back to China to share the love of God there. You might be called to go across the street and share with your neighbor. You might be called to share the Christ with your spouse, with your marriage partner, or your children, or your parents. God has a mission for all of us. Are you willing to go on mission for the Lord? Whatever it is, he's calling you to do. I'd like for us to close with prayer. As we pray together, I would like for us to simply meditate for a moment. I'm going to be quiet so that all of you can pray and just open your heart to the Lord. First of all, I'd like for you to consider, in what way have you failed your Lord? In what way have you not been obedient, not as faithful as you should have been? And would you hear grace from the Lord? Would you let him speak his love into your life and give you another chance? And would you realize he has a mission for you, for this church, for all of us? Would you say yes to that mission? After a few moments of silent meditation, I'll lead us in prayer. Please forgive us, O God, for the ways in which we have failed you. We are sorry for our sins. We humble ourselves before you, recognizing that we have not been all that we should have been for you. Please forgive us. And thank you, Father, that you come to us not with bitter anger, but you come to us with radical grace, giving us another chance. When you know that we are sincerely repentant, you come into our lives with love, and you offer relationship that brings such joy. Thank you, O God. And as we experience your love, may we also understand that you have a mission for each of us. And Father, we want you to know how much we love you and how eager we are to serve you. So Father, I pray your blessings upon each person here, that you might use them in their mission that you've given to them. And I pray your blessings upon this congregation, this church, Lord, for you've given this church a wonderful mission in this community and far beyond. And how I pray for this church, Lord, that they might be boldly on mission for you day after day, year after year. Thank you, O God, for your grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is in his name that we pray.
Amen.